Let's be turning in our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. You will recognize that as being part of our reading here in the last week. The far-reaching consequences of David's sin is what we were reminded of in our reading. David tried to cover his sin, chapter 11, but seeing that his plan failed to try to cover his sin, he removed Uriah from the story. But murder is not going to solve the problem of David's sin. Nor does one sin justify another sin. And who would have dreamed that it would have gone this far? David's sin with Bathsheba, and the lies that came after that, and trying to remove the problem from his sight, and killing Uriah. I mean, who would have thought that it would have gone that far? And the futility of trying to cover our own sins. In time, Bathsheba becomes David's wife, perhaps in some effort to make the situation right, but there's still a problem. David's relationship with God is not what it should be. And we can only just imagine the disappointment of God in this circumstance. David, a man after his own heart, and the sin. And chapter 11, verse 27 ends, "But the thing David had done displeased the Lord." Well, that's an understatement to say the least. We get into chapter 12, and that's where we'll focus some of our time here tonight. God sent a prophet, the prophet Nathan, to David. Let's read a little bit. Verse 1. "The Lord sent Nathan to David, and when he came to him, he said, 'There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it. It grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him.' David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, 'As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing with no pity.'" Well, let's stop there for just a minute. David doesn't get it yet. He doesn't understand the purpose of Nathan's visit. Nathan told David this story, and you imagine David's anger, how it grows when he hears what Nathan is saying, knowing that this rich man has done this terrible deed. And David is just beside himself with anger, unaware that really the story was about him. Verse 7. "Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if this had been too little, I would have given you more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says: out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all of Israel. If you can imagine what David's face looked like when he heard this. When he heard the prophet Nathan say, "This is what the Lord says." This was not just coming from Nathan. This is what the Lord says. And the Lord said, "Why did you despise the word of the Lord?" I think that's at least in part some reference to what the Lord has already said regarding adultery. Through the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 22 and Leviticus chapter 20. That a man committing adultery is worthy of death. In fact, not just a man committing adultery, but the one with whom he commits adultery. They're both worthy of death. That was the Lord's view. And here is David, one who is a man of God who has sinned, has despised the word of the Lord. And so God, through Nathan, says, "Sword and calamity is going to come upon your house." And it would. Three of David's sons would be murdered. Absalom, one of his sons, would defile, David's bed and do so in a public way. David's beside himself. David knows what he's done. He's known all along the sin that he has committed. Somehow, as we sometimes have a propensity to do, we are able to push sin to the side somehow. We put it in the backside of our mind and we try to forget about it. We try to pretend as though it's not really that bad, or that maybe someone will forget. Maybe God will forget. I don't know what we think sometimes, but we try to gloss over sin. David was doing that too, but as soon as he heard the words of the prophet speaking for the Lord, he knew his sin. His heart already troubled him. Verse 13, David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die, but by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt. The son born to you will die." As David confessed his sins, God forgave him, but it did not change the consequences of those sins. There was a price to be paid for his sins. God forgave David. He would not put David to death. But there's still going to be death involved, the death of David's son. And so there was a baby born by Bathsheba. Going through the rest of the chapter, we're not going to read all of that tonight. And the baby became very ill. David pleaded with God to save that child. He fasted, he prayed, and he would not eat. He was beside himself because he knows. He knows why this child is ill. He's feeling the weight of his sin once again. After 7 days, the child dies. David's servants were afraid to even tell him because he has been in such a state. He hasn't been eating. He's mourning. He is praying. He is fasting. But David noticed his servants whispering among themselves, and he knew. He realized that the child had died. And the servants were kind of surprised at his response when David got up and he washed himself and he was ready to eat. And they were surprised. I mean, how did you get over this? But David's response basically was, "This cannot be changed. I cannot bring the child back, but I can go to him." And David was looking at trying to move forward. In time, Bathsheba would bear another son. His name would be Solomon. There's a whole other story about Solomon for another time. Now, I wanted us to go to this text and spend a few minutes here just so we could go to some of the Psalms. We've done that several times with some of our readings with David, because David was such a writer of Psalms. And there are some that really seem to apply to the events that are taking place as we've read about here tonight. Four Psalms in particular that just seem to stand out to me. Descriptive about how David felt. David, who is a righteous man who sinned, and he was plagued by his sin. We can see how David pours out his heart to the Lord. We'll look briefly at each of these psalms. We're not going to read all of them or all of each one, but pieces of them, where we can just get a picture again of David's heart. We look at the 51st psalm. Would you look with me? In the 51st psalm, this is the one out of these four that we are probably the most familiar with. It's an incredible psalm. Again, giving us this picture of David's heart and the pain that he was feeling. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. David knew the problem of his sin. He knew how that changed the relationship he had with God. He was burdened because of sin and sick about it, literally so, because of this sin. And he knew. He knew that because of his sin, he was rejected of God. David would have been glad to offer many sacrifices because of his sin, but sacrifice alone does not blot out sin. That would have been insufficient. David's heart had to change, and he had to acknowledge his sin, confess his sin, and move away from his sin. And David sought the mercy of a loving God. And we see in David a broken heart, a contrite heart, that was looking to God for mercy. Now, I want us to look at the other three psalms just a little bit more. We're turning to Psalms, to the sixth psalm. The sixth psalm, a psalm of penitence. David's sorrow for sin, even as we are reading in the 51st Psalm. And here is one. This is a description of David that he's just in extreme grief because of his sin. And this is basically his prayer to God. And when we read it, we see David's heart laid open as he lays it open to God. And there's a plea for mercy. We begin reading in verse 1. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord? How long? We get the picture of the pain that David is feeling, a pain that becomes very real because sin is a burden. Sin, when our conscience is tender, when we have a love for God, we want to stand before Him as His own. When we sin, it bothers our conscience. And David was just that way. And his grief is just overflowing. Here we are these hundreds and hundreds of years later reading these words of David, and we can still understand and feel his pain because of his sin. And this is the way he laid it out before God, pleading with him, you know, do not rebuke me in your anger. David knows the disappointment of God, the anger of God because of his sin. And fearful of the power of God. David knows well the power of God. He's been the recipient of God's power in so many ways. And knows that God just has the power to wipe him off the face of the earth. Does David need to be rebuked? Yes. He's not saying, don't rebuke me, don't discipline me, just don't do it in your anger. Because he knew the power of God. And he calls on God to heal him. his bones being in anguish. You ever hurt sometimes so bad? Not physically, but you hurt so bad emotionally, maybe spiritually, that we're ill. That it just, it hurts to the core. Our bones hurt. That's where David was at. That is what he was experiencing. He was in anguish. Verse 4. Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. No one remembers when he is dead. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all of my foes. David, sometimes someone says, you know, I was so upset I cried myself to sleep. David's crying all night long. There was no relief. Not even in the still of the night, in the darkness of the night, could David find any relief, any way to remove himself, his mind, his sorrow from the sins and the disappointment that he had brought upon God. You know, there's a confidence, though, with which David looks to God. He's opened his heart. He's acknowledged the disappointment that he's brought upon God. But in verse 8, away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace. There's a confidence there. As he has been pleading with God to remember him, to not discipline him in anger, as he has acknowledged to God his grief and his anguish because of his sins, it is at the same time that he has confidence when he approaches God that God knows and God understands when he says, "The Lord has heard my weeping. You who are evil, get away from me." I don't know what or who may have had influence on David. Was there someone that somehow had got in his head in some way and led David to think some of the things that he did and do some of the things he did? I don't know, but he is crying out now and saying to those who are evil, get away from me. And saying of the Lord has heard my weeping. He has heard my cry. Indeed, he does. When we are troubled, when we are facing the darkest of days, when sin has come upon us, when we have done what we know better than to do, and we call out to God, he hears our cry. We can learn not just from the good things that David has done, we can learn lessons from the sins of David too. There are lessons to be learned on all accounts. Because sometimes we need to know, we need to be reminded that when we fall down, when we sin, that there's a way back to God. I've had more than one person through the years who have said, but if you only knew what I have done, you would know God could not ever forgive me. Now think about David. I might turn here to some of these Psalms even. And talk about David. Think about what David did. The sins that led all the way to murder. And yet God recognizes a contrite heart. One who humbles himself and comes before him. And sometimes we just need to remember that. There's the 38th Psalm. I'd like us to look at that. The 38th Psalm. Again, it's a cry of grief and a cry for mercy from David. He's greatly distressed. His mind is just overloaded. His body is pained because of his sins. Sin is a burden. Sin is a heavy burden, and we cannot relieve that burden of ourselves. David's calling out to God. The 38th Psalm, verse 1. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have pierced me and your hand has come down upon me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. My bones have no soundness because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. When we are troubled by sin, when it just lays on our conscience and it lays on our heart, it can affect our physical well-being. It can bring us down because sin is that heavy burden. Again, David is pleading with God, don't rebuke me in your anger. He goes on in verse 5. He says, my wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. This psalm in particular to me helps us to see and understand the picture of just where David was at. That he was mourning his sin, how it changed his relationship to God. He could find no peace. He could not get easy. Day or night he was mourning. As we read, his bed at night was full of tears. He could find no happiness because of his sins and what that did. Guilt will affect a good conscience. If we have not turned off our conscience, where we're just not listening to it anymore, if our conscience is good and it is concerned about God and His will and His ways, when we sin, it will hurt. It will bother us. And guilt will pull down the physical body. It's as though David is mad at himself. He knew better. If anyone knew better, it was David who knew better. But it can happen to all of us. It can happen to all of us that we do something, we say something, we find ourselves in a situation that we do not make the right choices. And what are we going to do about it? I hope we will grieve just as much as David did. And want to be reconciled with God. David goes on to say in verse 18, I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Oh yes, I mean that's what we've seen all the way through. He is troubled by his sin. Verse 21, O Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, O my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior. Do not be far from me, he says. But remember, it's sin that separates us from God. But he's confessing his sins. He has changed his life. He's trying to be different. He's trying to be closer to God. He's calling out to God. Let this not be between us. Come quickly to help me, he says. That's the attitude of David. There's one more. The 32nd Psalm, which is different than these others. Because it's as though David has found relief now. These other Psalms, we've just seen the burden of sin and how it has weighed him down, sick to the bone. But now, there is praise to God for forgiveness. Sometimes you have to get down to the bottom to appreciate being up. I'm not suggesting that we should want to fall to the bottom. I'm just saying sometimes you have to hit the bottom to appreciate getting up and being relieved of sin and being able to move forward. I think that's where David was at. I mean, here he is, he's happy. It says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And blessed, happy is he, some versions would say, when sins are forgiven. That is, that there's a relief. What a load that was off his mind and off his heart. Hard to even be able to describe, I'm sure, the way that he was feeling now. David glorified God for prayers that were answered. The Psalms that we've read when David was in anguish because of his sins, when his life was changed and when the burden of sin was lifted, David gave thanks for the relief that he found. In verse 3, he continued, verse 2, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Indeed, that's what the burden of sin will do. David knows now the relief that God can give, and he feels that relief. David goes on to write, verse 8, let's begin. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Relief. There was reason to give thanks. There was reason to give praise. There was reason to sing now because of the relief of sin being removed. David's sin is in so many ways one of the saddest stories that we can read about in the Bible. He was a man who feared God, man after God's own heart. He was not mean or wicked because he committed sin. He was a righteous man who made a grievous mistake and came to regret it and had to pay the consequences of his sin. When we think about David and we think about King Saul, both were men who sinned. Both were men who at one time stood before God righteous. God chose Saul to be king of Israel because of a humble heart, because of his attitude, because of his love for God. David was chosen for the same reasons. But something happened in time with both of them. Both of them sinned. One was not any better than the other when it came to sin. Both sinned. And yet there's still a difference. We just read not long ago about Saul and how his life came to an end. When he was called out by the prophet about his sin, Saul's response was so different. Saul tried to make excuses. At first, he tried to cover up his sin. Then he made excuses about his sin. And while he might have made some small effort at appeasement, he didn't repent. Not really. And so when we think about Saul and we think about different, we see two men in the same position. Both were king over Israel. And yet their response to sin was just so different. Saul denied guilt until he was forced to admit it by evidence that was overwhelming. And after he sinned and his kingdom was rejected, instead of repenting and asking for forgiveness, he allowed his hatred of David to just consume him. His heart was just in turmoil because he was living in sin. He was still carrying the burden of sin. And we see that it was that attitude that went with him to his death. That's what we see with Saul. David sinned just as grievously. David's sin wasn't any less. It was sin. Sin separates us from God. But when David's sin was pointed out, the guilt of that devastated him. It just took him to his knees. It took him to his face on the ground. It just destroyed him. And he poured out his heart to God in contriteness and pleaded for forgiveness. And God forgave him. He still had to face the consequences of his sin, but he was relieved of the burden of sin. Two men with some similarities at some point in their life, but the latter part of their lives was so very different because of their attitude and how they stood before God. Who are we more like? Well, I'm not going to answer that for you. You have to think about that. We all do. Who are we more like? When we find sin in our life, or if sin is pointed out in our lives, is it grieve us? Does it trouble us? Is it a burden? What are we going to do about that sin? How are we going to respond? We can see from these examples that God is willing to forgive when we are humbled. When our heart is burdened with sin and we turn to Him and we repent of our sin, we confess our sin, He is there. He is always there. Lessons for us to think about and to learn from. I hope it's helpful. If you need to respond to the gospel in any way, we trust you'll come as we stand and sing.